Come on and grab a seat. Good to see all of you. I'm surprised there are so many people for 4th of July weekend. I was hoping there'd be no one. I wouldn't have to preach. If you're new here, my name's Alex. I am not a pastor. I am filling in for Brandon, giving him a little bit of a break. I'm going to be doing a two-part series here about gifts of the Spirit. So we have been doing a series here in this church about church unity over the summer, and this will be part one of two. I just want to give us some background, and then next week we'll dive into some practical application. I just want to start by asking, imagine someone has just heard the gospel. What's the first thing you would tell them after they understand the gospel? Read your Bible. Ooh, good one. Ooh, you have the Holy Spirit. I like that. Anyone else? Pray. Yeah. Get baptized. Wow. Thank you, Christian. So good. All right. Something I'm struck by as I read the New Testament is how unity in the body comes right after the gospel. So you read Romans 1 through 8, that's the gospel. Romans 9 through 11, we got a little aside about the Jewish people. And then talks about unity in the body and the gifts of the Spirit. Ephesians, same thing, 1 through 3 is kind of Christ, what has he done for us? What has he accomplished? Then immediately in 4, we hit unity in the body, gifts of the Spirit. So the first question is why? Why is unity that important? Why is unity like immediately there? And second, why is it connected to the gifts of the Spirit? Why do we see that right there with it alongside? So I kind of wanted to answer those two questions today. Here, my slides are working. Yep. There's my goal for today. So with that, just pray and open it up. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you bless the church this morning, or that you bless your church. Through my words, please let these be your words, Lord God. Please touch hearts, Lord God, and stir people to action and obedience and right understanding. Help me, Lord God. May I speak what you want me to and not my own ideas, Lord God. I just pray that you'd bless the church this morning. Bless us with a deep understanding of how important unity is, how important your body is, Lord God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. One of the things I'm struck by is that I think oneness in the body of Christ is God's goal for us. That sounds obvious, but we go back to the Old Testament, we can look at from the beginning, his goal is to have a united people and nation. Here's from Exodus. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So from the beginning, God wants a people, a united nation, right? Notice what he doesn't want. He's not just looking for a collection of scattered individuals that personally know him. He wants more than that. He wants a body that's united. We started last week in Ephesians 4. Brandon gave us an introduction on how we need to love one another, be humble, be united. I'm struck as I read Ephesians 4 in how important it is that Christ wants one body, not just a bunch of individuals. So as we read Ephesians 4 today, let's keep that in mind. So with that, Bibles. Sorry, I left you guys standing there. Going to be in Ephesians 4. Raise your hand if you want one. I want one. Thank you. All right. Page 918, starting in verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, and one Spirit, just as you are called, to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and in all, and through all, and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the very one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Wow, I'm sure we could do a whole sermon series on just that. But I'm just struck by the call to be one body. I want to ask a very basic question here. I have Jesus, why go to church? I have Jesus, why go to church? Now, we could give various answers. I'm sure we all know that church is important. We might say, hey, well, you need the church in order to strengthen your individual walk with Christ. You need the church to encourage you not to stray into sin. You need the church to call you out from error, things like this. But I worry that that's a shallow answer. I worry that underneath that we have the belief that Christianity is really all about my personal individual relationship with God, and that the church is there to serve me in my personal individual relationship with God, right? I think it can lead to some of the consumerism we see around us. The consumerism with regard to church, right? If the church doesn't meet my needs, I'm out. I'm leaving. If the church doesn't improve my walk with God, I'm going to find somewhere else, right? If a church doesn't make me feel loved, I'm out. Here's a good one. If the pastor teaches something that I don't agree with quite, I'm gone. Right? That last one's a little subtle. Why is that individualism? Because the church is about serving me intellectually and theologically. See that? That's the purpose of the church. It's to serve my intellectual, theological needs. And if it doesn't check all my theological boxes, I'm out. How many times has someone asked you, was the sermon good today? Oh yeah, it was good. How was the worship today? Oh yeah, it was good. Hear the consumerism there. It serves me. It's there to build me up. Oh, I just felt really connected to God through the worship. Worship is about me personally, individually connecting to God, right? I do love those worship services where it's dark and you can't see anyone. And it's so loud. I can't hear anyone. It's just me and Jesus. Those are awesome. But man, isn't the purpose of worship also that we as a body should give the honor and glory to God that He deserves? Right? Isn't that the purpose of worship? More so than just me feeling connected to God. It's important too. Our individual relationship with God is very important. I don't want to deny that. But there's more than just that. I was thinking of some analogies I've heard about Christian unity. There's one I've actually heard taught at churches. Christian unity is like a bunch of pianos, and you have a tuning fork, and if you tune them all to the same tuning fork, they'll be in tune with each other, right? That's true to that analogy. That's a good analogy for Christian unity, but it almost gives the impression that, man, all I need to do is focus on Jesus, focus on my individual personal relationship with Jesus, and I can just ignore y'all, and this unity thing will kind of work itself out, right? Rather than a better analogy, a body, right? A body where the members are not only just connected to the head, they're connected to each other too. Here's one I think we fall into just in our culture, is that the church is like a bus. The pastor's the driver. I get in, I sit down, he takes me where I need to go, right? That's sometimes how we can treat it. We're passive. We're sitting down, listening to the sermon. That's all church is about. I go home. Hopefully that sermon builds me up, and hopefully the sermons that I keep hearing build me up, because that's all there is. But I think in some ways, unity is the goal. The goal is, as I read Ephesians 4, the goal is that we as individual members build up the body of Christ into our head, who is Christ, building each other up as a united body into Christ, right? That's the goal. That's the purpose for which Christ died. He wanted a people. He wanted a holy nation, a body, not just a collection of individuals. As three reasons why unity is important, our oneness models God's oneness. We are built up by the body, and we attain to the fullness of Christ in the body. Here we are. We just read this. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all, who is over all and through all and in all. It's a lot of ones. Why are we to be one? Why is unity important? Because God is one. God is united. Oh, man. This is one of the most powerful prayers about unity in the entire Bible, John 17. Jesus praying for us, right? He's praying for us future believers. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, the message of the apostles, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. What a call, that we may be one as the Father and the Son are one. You hear that? What a call to unity. This is the one thing he prayed for us, by the way. Remember those prayers in John? What did he pray for future believers? Did he pray, Lord, I pray that there would be a bunch of people in the future who would all have a great individual, personal connection to me, and I hope they'd meet together sometime? You know, no. This is what he prayed for, right? This is the goal. This is what he wanted. We model God to the world, right? God is not alone. God is one, right? God is not alone. God is a unity. Remember that? We all remember our theology in Christian theology. That's why we need to be one. We show who God is. We're built up by the body. All right. Let's see if you guys passed Sunday school. All right, who died for sins? Good job. All right, who rose on the third day? Who has the name above every name? Jesus. Who builds up the body in love? Jesus? From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. What? Why is the answer not? The answer is always Jesus, right? Why is the answer not Jesus there? It is Jesus, right? It's all Jesus. From him, the whole body, right? He's the start of it all. But God wants to use the body to build us up. He wants to build us up through the body. We can't be built into maturity alone. This is just so profound. There's a way in which, guys, there's a way in which God will not build you up in your individual personal walk with him that he will only do through the body. You guys catch that? He will only do it through the body. The body builds itself up in love. He didn't have to do it this way, right? But he chose to. This is how he wants to build us up. Right. Attaining to the fullness of Christ. See if I have it here. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip the people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Listen to this. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What does that even mean? The whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Someone once said, we would not dare claim that if it were not written. That sounds like heresy. Who would say, we attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ? Wow. That's an amazing claim. But guess what? We can't do it alone. We are built up by the body, by the gifts. Notice how the gifts are at work there, right? The apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers to equip the body for works of service. I was thinking of the Old Testament, some of the passages Brandon read in Leviticus. Over and over and over again, what was the ultimate consequence for breaking the law? Death sometimes, but what else? What was that? Sacrifices, yeah. Oh, got it. They must be cut off from their people, right? Over and over and over and over again, right? You refuse to get circumcised, they must be cut off from their people. You eat blood, you must be cut off from their people. You break the ceremonial law, they must be cut off from their people. Why is that the consequence? Why is that the ultimate consequence in the Old Testament? Why not they no longer have the favor of God, or they're no longer in a relationship with God, something like that? Why? Because they were connected, part of their connection to God was through the people of God, right? Their connection to God was through the people of God. To be cut off from the people of God is to be cut off from God. There is a way in which our connection to Christ, part of it, is through the body. Again, I was thinking of this verse in Ephesians. Lost it. All right. The very last verse we read. We grow up in every way into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by what? By every joint with which it is equipped. My version said, by every supporting ligament. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We are connected to Christ not just through our individual personal relationship with Him, but also through every part, through the other members, right? Think about my hand. My hand is connected to my head, right? My body serves my mind, right? That's its purpose. It does what my mind wants. I tell it what to do, and it does it. It's connected directly to my mind, right? We have our nervous system. I can command my parts directly, yet they're not just directly connected to my head. All my parts are not just directly connected to my head. They're connected to each other. And if they're cut off from the body, they're cut off from the head. I was reading this in 1 Corinthians 10. I just thought of this. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share of the one loaf. Wow, what an image, right? Sadly, you know, these days we have our COVID cups, right? And they're little individual cups and you sit by yourself and you take it. But sometimes we've done it where there's literally one loaf, one cup, and we break it and we take it together. And it's a reminder of what, right? Not just me with my little COVID cup, me and Jesus. And I meditate on His redemption of me, but His redemption of a people, a body. We are one in His body. And we take of His one body broken for us together, because in Him, we are one body. That's the picture. He has one body broken for us. In His body, we are one. In His blood, we are one. All right. Built up through the gifts of the Spirit. I don't want to press this too far. Like, I don't want to nuance this. I want to nuance this and say it's not like if you stop going to church, you're not a Christian. I'm not trying to say that. We all know that. I just want to push back against some of the overemphasis we have sometimes on our individual personal walk with God to the exclusion of our connection to the body, as if that's secondary, as if that's not important and that's not the goal, right? I wonder, guys, sometimes if, like, my default, man, I'm struggling in my walk with God. I'm struggling. What do I do? Oh, man, I got to go read the Bible. Got to go by myself, pray for a long time, right? That's my default. And we don't think, how's my connection to the body? How's that doing? How's my connection to the body? Do I need to look at that? Is there something wrong there? Because that's part of my connection to Christ, right? Is my connection through the Holy Spirit to you guys. I also just want to make a brief side point here. It's not just us in this room. We know that, right? Not just us in this room, that's the body. Christ died for the church. The church everywhere throughout the world, right? He wants unity, not just here in this room, but throughout the church everywhere. I think one application, just for us quickly, is I think we should be more heartbroken. We should be more heartbroken at the state of Christianity in our world today. It is very divided and very disunited, and it is a sad, sad thing. Now, that doesn't mean, it's like I was thinking of divorce. Divorce is a sad thing. Sometimes it's justified in extreme circumstances. We understand that. Sometimes church division is justified in extreme situations. We need to understand that. But it's always sad. It is never a thing to be celebrated that the church is divided and broken. We should be praying that the body of Christ would be united around the world. It sends a terrible message to the world, doesn't it? And we're all divided and arguing over different things, and we just, I don't know. What does that say about God? What does that say about His oneness when we act like this? It's a sad thing. We should be praying for church unity. Through the spiritual gifts, we are united through the Spirit. Right? We all know that. We're united through the Spirit, not just in our own strength, not just in me being nice to you. We're united through the power of the Holy Spirit. But how? I see this over and over and over again. Sometimes we think of our unity as, okay, being humble, being loving, forgiving. Those are great things. We need those for unity. We talk about those a lot. But guess what? It's also through the spiritual gifts. Here's Ephesians 4 again. Okay, so he has that whole section. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, right? One God, Father over all, in all, through all, right? One. We are to be one. How? But grace is given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. He ascended on high, He gave gifts to men. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for works of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, that we may attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Gifts. How do we get there? Through the spiritual gifts. Here's Romans 12. Same thing. For just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all of the others. Stop there. That sounds a lot like Ephesians, doesn't it? Sounds a lot like what we just read. What's he going to talk about next? You already know because it's on the screen. Gifts. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is prophesying, prophesy according to your faith. If it's serving, serve. Teaching, teach. Encouraging, give encouragement. Giving, give generously. Leading, do diligently, showing mercy, do it cheerfully. Do we see that? And it's again, I'm going to give another example, just hope I'm not belaboring the point. Again, in 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 is the most famous passage on the body. You all know it, right? The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. The foot can't say, because I'm not like the other parts of the body, I'm not part of the body. You guys all know it, right? How does that section begin and end? Begins with, I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, about spiritual gifts. List of gifts. Ends with, here's another list of gifts. Do we see that? There's a connection between gifts of the Spirit and unity in the body. But why? What's the connection? Why are spiritual gifts needed for unity? Yeah. Parts of my body don't work by themselves. My hand needs the other parts of the body. The hand is not an eye, right? It can't see. The eye is not a hand. It can't grab things. We have a part to play. We have a part and a role to play. And God has designed it so that You can't do it by yourself. You need other people and their giftings, right? I don't know. I was just thinking of different ways the body can be unhealthy. What does an unhealthy body look like? What is a body where the parts don't know their role look like? I don't know. I thought of a few analogies, but I was thinking of, first of all, of my little baby girl. I guess it took 1 month for me to use my child in a sermon illustration. So. Doesn't bode well, but she doesn't know how to use the parts of her body. She's flailing around. There's times where she really desperately wants to suck that hand, you know? But, oh no, it's gone. She doesn't know how to control it, right? That's a body where we don't understand, the parts don't understand what they do. The parts don't know how they work. Just, they're doing whatever. There's another way, I think it's even more insidious, is where the parts are trying to fill in for the others. Right? Imagine I was trying to think of analogies for this. I don't have a good one, but I'll give you the ones I have. Imagine an orchestra, right? Where nobody knows their part, right? And, oh, I look over and I'm a violin, but the trumpet, not doing his part too well. Guess I'll just start playing the trumpet part in my violin. And now somebody looks over at me and goes, the violin isn't playing their part. I guess I'll just play the violin part on the bass. And everybody starts doing everybody else's part. How's the orchestra going to sound? Not good, right? How about a body, right? It's hard to imagine a body doing the same thing, but I don't know. Imagine somebody coming up to you and you're like, dude, why are your elbows bleeding? Oh, I just walked here on my elbows today. Like, why? Oh, we just, you know, whatever body part is available at the moment, they fill in, you know? I walk on my knees sometimes, my elbows, just whatever's available, you know? We all pitch in. All the body parts pitch in. It's like, that's not a healthy body, right? I know we're a small church. We have lots of needs, right? Lots of needs need to be filled. I get that. Lots of needs need to be filled. But there's a way in which when we're just filling in the need of the moment, filling in the need of the moment, that we can end up in a place that's more unhealthy than if we just let the need be unmet. Or even better, if we focused on how does each part do its work? How does each part do its work? You know, we are a body. You guys are the body of Christ. I need you. There's things I need you to do that I can't do myself, right? To cut yourself off from the body, think about the gifts, encouragement, giving, faith, leadership. If I'm cutting myself off from the body, or if I'm not looking to the body and looking to build up the body in Christ, I'm cutting myself off from faith, from leadership, from encouragement, right? From all the things that the body's supposed to build me up in, right? Kind of didn't turn out too well. Okay. I just wanted to show you this. This is a table. I found similar ones online. Just of all the gifts. There they are, listed out, all the gifts in the New Testament. You see there's some overlap between some of the lists. We read the one today in Ephesians 4 and Romans 12. There's two more in Corinthians. This isn't, you know, it's a strange list. If I were God and I were to ask myself, what does the church need? What gifts does the church need? This is not the list I would have come up with, right? I don't think you guys would have either. But this is the list he gave us. These are the gifts God has chosen to give the church that he says that we need to build each other up. So just a sneak peek at next week, I'm going to be going through the gifts one by one. Just talking about what I think each one is, how it can be used to build up the body into Christ. To build up the body into Christ, into the fullness of Christ. That's the goal, right? I worry sometimes. I worry, you know, if we're in a church that never, ever, ever talks about the gifts, that doesn't understand them, where you ask a person, what are your spiritual gifts? And their answer around the whole church is, I don't know, maybe this, maybe that. I worry, maybe we're not as healthy as we could be. Maybe we're not walking in the health that we could be walking in if we knew our part and we're playing it. I just want to encourage you guys this week, just read some of these gift lists. Read through them. Start thinking about them. Start thinking about the gifts. What gifts do I have? What have I seen at work in the church? What have I seen lacking? What do I feel like I need to be blessed with? How can I bless others? How can I build up others through my gift? I think this is so important. You know, I want to go back to Romans 12. Your gift is prophesying. Prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, serve. If it is teaching, teach. If it is to encourage, give encouragement. If it is giving, give generously. If it is to lead, do diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. How can we obey this if we don't know what our gifts are? How can we be obeying that? And what is the body missing out on? What is the body of Christ missing out on? How are we walking in ways that are maybe not healthy? Again, I'm going to touch on this more next week. I'm going to touch on more practical applications, but for this week, just I encourage us to pray. Pray for God to teach us more about the spiritual gifts, for us to understand them and how we can use them specifically to build up the body into Christ. All right, with that, I'm going to end a little early and pray for us. And we have potluck. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this body, Lord. I thank you that I am a member of it. I am blessed to be a member of your body. Christ, we want to serve you as members of your body. And we understand that we are to do that by serving the body, by being a part of it and playing our role in it. Help us do that well. Give us understanding. Give us a depth of understanding of how specifically you want to use us to serve and build up your body. Lord God, we thank you for this church. Lord, we are honored to be members of you. We love you, Lord. We want to please you and honor you and serve you by serving your body. We ask that you teach us about the spiritual gifts. We ask you to fill us with the Spirit, Lord, and empower us to love one another in the various ways you've blessed us. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Daniel.